Ladies and gentlemen, prepare, because you are about to get notified.
KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed on this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show or other programs on KUCI, please log on to KUCI.org for the latest program schedule.
Well, good morning to Irvine and the world. This is Ryan Folland, also known as DJ Ginger MC, and I am stoked today because we have an amazing guest, and we're going to talk about entrepreneurship, where that coincides with social media, the mentality that you've got to have to be successful, and why not learn from someone who's been extremely successful. He has built a nutrition company from, I'm assuming, zero to about $1 billion, and now the second path of his life is in helping to create more impact by a podcast and a show that he's got called The Impact Theory. Tom Bilyeu, are you there, sir?
I am indeed, man.
Fantastic. Well, I feel like, you know, as you're a person who has your own show, is it a little odd to be the guest, or are you often guests on different shows as well?
I'm often a guest on different shows. It was a little weird at first, yeah, but I'm getting pretty used to it now.
Nice. Well, why don't you give our audience a little history of sort of your path, because it's a healthy path, and you've helped people become healthy, and now you're helping them, it seems like, become more mentally healthy, giving them amazing content with amazing guests talking about pretty cool topics. So how did this all start for you? What's the backdrop?
Well, the backstory begins probably about, wow, I guess 17 years ago now, when I saw the movie The Matrix, and it really gave me a new way to think about my life. And up until that point, I had this feeling that I could do more, I could be more, but I felt trapped. But I didn't know by what. And watching that movie really made me realize it was my own mindset that was holding me back. And it's become a perfect metaphor for me for human accomplishment and potential, and the difference between having potential and actualizing that potential. And that's something that I talked to Michael Strahan about on Impact Theory, because he credits the movie The Matrix with impacting his football career, and he said it's a big part of the reason that he got the record for the most sacks in a single season, and how he went on to become a Hall of Fame NFL football player. So that started things for me. I got into business as a way to control my own destiny, and ended up making the classic mistake that so many people make, which was to chase money, and ended up making a lot of money and being totally unfulfilled. And it was somewhat ironic that I was living the cliche of money can't buy happiness, because I had spent so much time really thinking about the brain and how not to fall into traps like that, and yet still found myself there. So my partners and I eventually decided that that was a technology company that we were doing at the time. We decided to sell the technology company and start something that we could really believe in, that would be built around passion, that would be built around a desire to bring value. And while we founded it for three very different reasons, for me, I had grown up in a morbidly obese family. So it was all about wanting to help my mom and my sister really be happy. And so that was the driving engine for me to work so hard at Quest. And like you said, we took it from nothing to being valued at over $1 billion in less than 5 years. It was a pretty miraculous ascent. We were the second fastest growing company at one point, according to Inc. magazine. I mean, it was just an absolute thrill ride. But for me, wellness was always a 360-degree thing that had to encompass the body and the mind. So yeah. I've stepped into a founder role at Quest and now have founded a new company, Impact Theory, which is designed to incubate mission-based companies and content that is built around empowering mythology and ideology, and bring that to the world. So that's what we're doing now.
Wow. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end of our show. After 6 minutes, Tom has successfully given us enough information for an entire hour's worth. It was great being with you. Wow, what a story. I mean, there's a couple things that resonate with me that I think might with the audience. One is just chasing after the almighty dollar, and it working in a way that maybe, you know, more money, more problems, or just like money didn't buy you happiness. And I think we have to keep reminding ourselves of that, because fulfillment isn't a full wallet. It's a happy lifestyle, a healthy relationship, you know, things that you're able to give back in the community. And it's just always inspiring to hear somebody who's successful financially come out there and say, well, financial success doesn't always lead to happiness. And I think that's a really great takeaway. And also, you know, a lot of times I believe I'm deep in the entrepreneurship space. I'm very passionate about it. Until I'm blue in the face, I'm going to say you've got to solve a real problem. And I always encourage people to look around them. And the fact that, you know, obesity was a serious problem in your family, what a great opportunity to turn that into something to not only help your family, but other people out there as well. So congratulations on all that.
Thank you.
Now, the impact theory, is it structured as an incubation, or is, because I see all these interviews and I've been trying to get through them and I don't even have enough time. It's like amazing. I feel almost like it's the new Tim Ferriss book, The Tool of Titans. It's the biggest book I've ever owned. And I read just a little bit every time before I go to bed. So it kind of reminds me of that. Like sometimes it's daunting when you have so much amazing content. So is it primarily would you call it a podcast? Would you call it an interview format? What are you calling it?
So it's really two things. We have the show, and that very much is a podcast, and people can subscribe on iTunes. But it's also, we film it, so it's filmed like a TV show, and you can watch it on YouTube. And, you know, like you said, we have just some of the highest level successful people on the show. We've had Tim Ferriss was a guest on the show. Michael Strahan was a guest. Wyclef Jean was a guest. We've just had some really, really incredible people. And it picks up where Inside Quest left off. So Inside Quest was viewed over 150 million times. I mean, just really, really a smash success, and super excited to have been a part of that. And wanted to turn it into its own company. And the reason that we wanted to do that, to your point, you have to solve a real problem. Yeah. So what we were doing at Quest Nutrition was addressing one of what I consider to be two pandemics that we face as a society right now. The first is the body, and that's very easy for people to understand because it's so visual. And when somebody is suffering from a diet-related disease like diabetes, it's very visual, right? So usually they're very heavy. And then if they get necrosis beginning to set in from the diabetes, you know, they're literally getting parts of their body amputated. Mm. So it's such a visible and emotionally destructive disease. Everybody knows what's going on there, and they understand that we need to mobilize. But the second pandemic is the pandemic of the mind, and we have a ubiquity of depression and anxiety. Here in the U.S., the second leading cause of death among young men is suicide.
Wow.
And it's the number one cause of death for young men in places like Australia. So, I mean, it's just really crazy to me that we have, you know, I mean, this amazing technological advancement. The world is getting better and better. I don't know if you've ever read the book, The Rational Optimist by Matt Ridley, but he talks about how basically progress is a one-way street, and it's gotten better and better for like the last 80,000 generations. And so to think that suddenly it's going to turn around and go negative doesn't make a lot of sense. Hmm. But in spite of that, we've got this just massive pandemic of depression and anxiety, which to me comes down to a deterioration of mythology and understanding really how to incorporate mythology and ritual into your life. And I think that the entrepreneurial movement is really going to be one of the things that brings that back, which is why to me there's a natural connection between incubating companies, which yes, we are an incubator and we do incubate companies, but then also we incubate content creators, not only social content, but just traditional narrative. And I think that as a society, we're very, very good at creating mythology. Think of Star Wars, think of The Matrix, but we're very bad at understanding how to implement it in our lives. And that is literally how I took myself from scrounging in my couch cushions to find enough change to put gas in my car to building a billion-dollar brand, was understanding that people were creating this mythology for me, which was in essence instruction manuals on how to live, and all I had to do was listen and implement.
Wow. And I think that I enjoyed listening to that. And I think we don't listen enough. And what you're saying is that maybe the recipe for better mental health and the recipe for ultimate success and happiness is out there. We just need to listen and learn it, implementing that on a daily basis.
100%. And it really comes down to execution. So the brain is just like the body. If you train the body, you know it will respond. And people have a real intuitive understanding of that. If I go into the gym every day, I eat right, and I lift this weight, and then I push myself to lift a little more, and every day I push myself, that I can completely transform my physique. I can transform what I'm capable of doing. I can actually lift heavier weights. No one denies that. No one is going to say, oh, no, that will never work, right? Everybody gets it. But when you talk about the mind, because it's invisible, because you can't see the restructuring of the brain, that people discredit it. I mean, it was only recently that people finally realized that the brain has this thing called neuroplasticity, and that at every age, up until death, your brain will change in accordance to stimulus. So if you're a 90-year-old and you force yourself to learn the tango, your brain will actually restructure.
Wow.
So that, to me, is like understanding the neuroanatomy of the brain is like job number one if you're trying to accomplish something in your life.
Yeah, it's interesting you point that out, and it's the power of understanding how to utilize, think of it as your brain software, right? Like if you're thinking technology. I just read a book called Your Brain at Work, and it was very interesting because it was a biological look at your brain and, you know, basically getting you to understand the code behind it so that you can better utilize it, right? Where you get stuck in a thought process, you're like, I can't think right now. The mechanics and biology of how to step away from it, and that might actually solve it. And this neuroplasticity and how you're creating the connections, and you know, your muscle memory versus these things that you have to put effort for. It was really interesting. It was like looking at the code of the brain and specifically relating to how you can be better at your work. It was fascinating to me, and I can see how that you can just kind of get geeked out on.
Definitely, man. It sounds like you are reading my kind of book.
Another one I just read, which you might be interested in, is called The Practicing Mind. And it's a really unique spin on mindfulness. It's a piano tuner, okay? A guy who is a professional piano tuner. And I didn't know, but it's like there's like 2,000 parts to tune on a piano, and it takes a lot of patience and a lot of mindfulness. And the overall theme is the power of being present, and that if you actually slow down and take your time to do things right and correct the first time, you actually can get a lot more done. And I think that the attention span and the ping pong back and forth and jumping between windows and getting so many windows on your browser you can't even see what the windows are, it creates this like dynamic of ping, 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 ping. And we think we're doing more, but we're really not. And it's just exciting to try to namaste out a little bit and just chill. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, I'm being productive.
Yeah, that was a great book, and there's a great compendium, we'll say, to go with that, which is Deep Work, which, if I'm not mistaken, is by Adam Grant. And another great book along those same lines, talking about, you know, there's a real problem in today's society where people are skimming across the surface of skill acquisition and not really stopping to go deep, to do the hard things, to concentrate on one thing over time.
Yeah.
And that the ability to go really deep and focus on one thing is how you gain mastery. It's how you get great. And that to me is an obsession.
Totally. I was doing some research. I put on a big workshop at UCI the other day and just doing research onto employees, and we're talking about internal influencer marketing, right? Leveraging your existing employees to expand your reach online. And I read these crazy statistics and studies that most of the learning in the job place stops after a year. You get comfortable and then you get set back in your chair, and you get in this routine and you forget that if you stop, you stop, right? So it's interesting. Now, before we go any further, I think people want to know how to find you online. So where would you like to point them? And with social media, it's difficult because there's probably a number of places to go, but how would you direct people to find more information about you and your company online?
It's at Tom Bill U. My last name is spelled B as in Bravo, ILYEU. Same for YouTube, / Tom Bill U. Yeah, that's where we're launching all the content. We also have a website, which is impacttheory.com. But for consuming the content, that's going to be all at Tom Bill U or / Tom Bill U.
Cool. Well, I apologize because we were tweeting the heck out of you this morning, and I was just blasting, retweeting, and we are enjoying the information. And it's about letting people find it, because if your podcast is pinned in an audio file to a tree in a forest and no one is there to hear it, no one hears it, right?
No question, man. Look, I'll go as crazy as you want. We'll take every mention we can get.
Awesome. So this show is called Get Notified because it was inspired by all these little notifications I get on my phone, and then you dive into it, and sometimes it's distracted, sometimes it's powerful. And I think it really, you set the tone here for this combination of real technology that's out there in the world and then the technology of your body and the technology of your brain. I know that you deal with a lot of entrepreneurs, so I think it'd be fun to dive into some real practical tools for entrepreneurs and for everyone else who's not an entrepreneur. You are still involved in this conversation. I like to think that everyone has entrepreneurial potential. There just might be intimidation factors. So if you're listening to this out there and you're like, I'm not an entrepreneur, pretend like you are for this conversation. So I'd be curious to know some of your top hacks or top tips when it comes to this entrepreneurial mentality and how it relates to social media. Because I'm a big believer that some of the best online strategy starts offline, that you've got to keep the social in social media. And the more we get tunnel visioned into all of our communication on these digital channels, I just don't think it's as effective as a combination. So maybe we could work through your top three tips to using your human technology when it comes to just social platform or social technologies.
Yeah, so to me, it's really about acquiring real skills. So if you're going to be on social media and you're trying to attract a following, and that's specifically what this advice will be useful for, if you're trying to attract a following, you need to be, much like with a business, you put your finger right on it. You need to be solving a real problem. So if you're trying to get people to follow you, there needs to be something that you're actually delivering. It needs to be predicated on value. It needs to be an overwhelming amount of value. And the only way that you're going to deliver value to people is if you spend the time offline to actually get good at something. And this is, man, this is like my diatribe. It's like people now want to collect followers rather than want to deliver value, and then the followers come because they want that value. And we're trying to take the exact opposite approach. I've spent the last 15 years learning to be an entrepreneur, to build businesses, to actually succeed in business, and now I'm starting to talk about it. But if you don't take the time first to actually get good, and then on top of that, Impact Theory is not just a show. The show is merely our way of getting an audience. But the real question is, why do we want the audience? What do we plan to do with that? Because, you know, I get pinged every day with people saying, why are you giving away all this content for free?
Yeah.
And the answer is that we're trying to build an audience. And we detailed on the website, ImpactTheory.com, exactly why we're building an audience. We have three phases to our model. Phase one is to build the audience. Phase two is to incubate the companies and content. And then phase three is to monetize those. And how we're going to do that, it's all detailed on the website. And part of it is, you know, calling our shot like Babe Ruth so that people see as we execute over years that this is, you know, exactly what we plan to do in the beginning. And, you know, if you really look at what Jeff Bezos, for instance, has done with Amazon, where his logo literally tells you, we're going to do everything from A to Z.
Yeah.
And people thought in the beginning he was just books. And he said, nope, this is the everything store. And it's hard to see his vision when, you know, he's just doing the book portion. But now it's very plain to see the game that he was really playing from the beginning. And so over time, people are going to see that we're actually going to do what we're talking about in our three-phase rollout and what it means and why it's important in the world of mythology. So that, to me, is the steak. And the social is the sizzle, right? So,
right.
And that's right from Gary Vaynerchuk's mouth, and that guy's being nuggets of gold every which where. And but that's the big differentiator for me, is you can't just be sizzle. You have to be sizzle and steak. Then on top of that, you know, going back to more human technologies here, building long-term relationships that are real, that are actually getting to know somebody and figuring out what they're trying to do and achieve, and A, just being emotionally supportive, and then B, if you're like-minded enough, you can actually support them with what you're building as well. But that's the time, and it's built in the real world, and it's built over time. And I know you asked for three, but those two are so monumental that I'll mic drop at that.
Yeah, that was a, wait a minute, thunk, that was a mic drop from over here.
Nice.
You're speaking the truth here. It's almost gospel. And I think that as people are able to jump online and take quick courses or have a very surface level understanding of things with maybe technology to help them behind it, you don't really get that deep dive on learning. And it's a classic, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. And it's so, I think it's so natural for this Generation Z who only grew up with technology to not necessarily understand that. And I think it is a real problem, but that idea of being an expert and getting your expertise offline to then bring it online is huge. I know I've talked with people and they have that same mentality of, well, why would I give away all my best information if that's what I'm maybe trying to eventually consult for or do? And I've always been of the belief that, you know, everything you put out should have like $10,000 worth of info. People are going to get excited about it and they're going to see you as the expert, but they're still going to hire you for it because you're the expert, right? It's amazing how content really is taking over. I'm assuming you know Joe Paluzzi and the Content Inc.
No.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So Joe Paluzzi is dubbed to be the godfather of content marketing. Fun story, he left his very high-paying job with two kids and a wife and thought that he was going to go launch this amazing tech company. Well, he found out very quickly that it would take at least, at the most minimum, 9 months to even have a prototype. And he sat there and he's like, holy crap, what did I do? But he started to create content around what his product was going to be. And he created so much content that he created such a loyal fan base, such a loyal following, that when it was time to launch his product, he already had people to buy it. And he actually came up with this. He was the inventor of content marketing. The fact that he goes out there and says, you don't have to have a product, right? A lot of entrepreneurial training will say, get your product, get your MVP. He's saying, build an audience. And if you build an audience, then you can communicate with them, get feedback, and deliver a product that will actually be something that they consume. He also has come up with the, have you heard of the 411 theory for Twitter?
No.
Okay, it's a great content strategy because, you know, content's difficult and people get frustrated and they get annoyed. They're like, how am I supposed to come up with all these tweets, or how am I supposed to come up with content? I'm only one person. I think the strategy applies to all platforms in a general sense, but it basically says for every 6 tweets, it's okay to have 4 of those tweets be retweets of, say, Impact Theory and Gary Vaynerchuk and Keith Ferrazzi and somebody else who is influential within the niche that you're going for. Then for every 4 shares of other content, you should have at least 1 piece of original content. Could be a blog, could be a video, doesn't matter, but it's got to be original. And then if you follow that formula, he says it's okay to have 1 ask. And the ask could be follow me on Facebook. The ask could be come to my webinar. And what it does is that the strategy at the end of the day is give, 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 ask. And it's an amazing, short, simple theory for people to follow. And it's less intimidating to come up with the content. And it avoids the chances of there being a lot of boys and girls who cry wolf online.
Yeah, those kind of heuristics are really powerful, and Gary Vaynerchuk has one that he calls Jab, 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 Right Hook.
Yeah, that's
wrote a book,
his new book, right,
with
that
title. I think those guys are really onto something.
Yeah. So, yeah, you'd love Content Inc., and Joe Paluzzi, he would be fantastic if you could. I'm sure you can get him on your show. So this is interesting. Okay, so on the entrepreneurial topic, so we're here at UCI. I went to UCSB. I saw online that you were over at USC. Are you integrating into the college campuses, and are you giving back? And what is your thought process on college entrepreneurship?
Somebody with an employee mindset, when they hit an obstacle, they relax because, hey,
it's not my problem,
you know,
right?
Nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Whereas an entrepreneur, when they hit an obstacle, they realize they have to go around it, over it, through it, whatever. So they actually get frustrated. They double their energy and they really, really push forward. And that, to me, is the definition of an entrepreneur. So whether you're a parent and you're trying to figure out, you know, how the hell you get your kids to all of their activities,
right,
you know, and take care of everything at the house, or you're trying to be the greatest employee of all time, because not everybody wants to start their own company. So as somebody who does want to do that, I would be lost if I didn't have employees that were deeply passionate about what they do and didn't see just incredible value in building their skill set within my organization. College, no college, to me, that's not that critical. It's really about, are you at college developing the skill set that is actually going to serve you when you get out and do whatever it is that you want to do? And I think so many people can coast through college and really miss a tremendous opportunity. For me, college was amazing, and I'm so glad that I went, and it really helped me structure learning itself and to really understand how to execute against that. But I'm not somebody that says, you know, there's one path and that's it.
I love it. And that's a great way to look at it. So whether you're a single mom that has a flat tire, or whether you're a single dad who, you know, your son's helmet for his hockey practice breaks, you're basically saying that you can be an entrepreneur because it's a mentality. It's something that is the way you deal with obstacles. I love that. That is everybody out there, because everybody deals with obstacles. And sometimes that obstacle looks like a 20-foot wall that you're so blindsided that it just, you don't feel like you can overcome it. But if you look at that wall as an opportunity, what you're saying is you can find a way around it. I remember some preschool or kindergarten song is like singing about, and there's a hill, can't go around it, can't go this, and then all of a sudden you figure out, well, you go under it. So I think that's great. So for all of you non-entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs, mompreneurs, and wantrepreneurs, you are all defined in a common thread of the way that you approach obstacles. So the reason I bring this up is that the University of California, the Office of the President, so this is like Janet Napolitano, the big dog of all UC schools, they've launched an initiative called UC Entrepreneur. And it's a way to encourage students, faculty, staff, and alumni to basically own the fact that they are an entrepreneur. And they're doing this by asking for people throughout the entire UC system to do a 30-second pitch, essentially saying, my name is Ryan Folland, I'm a UC entrepreneur, this is the problem that I solve. And it's a really, really cool, powerful concept, because maybe I'm curious your opinion on it. It almost takes admitting the fact that you're an entrepreneur for that to happen, right?
Yeah, and you know, I think really, really cool movement, and I think they're putting their finger on something that's so important. Hello. Is that to develop the skill set to handle obstacles, you really have to be looking inward and developing your mindset in a way that's completely empowering. To me, it's irrelevant what you aim that empowerment at. It does not need to be a business. And so having people focus on a problem that they're solving, I promise you, a lot of the entries that they're going to get are going to be people that are looking at non-traditional business problems. And I love that.
Awesome. Well, Alex, are you on the line?
Yeah. Can you all hear me?
Yeah, we can. Alex, this is Tom. Tom, Alex. Alex, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, I've been listening already in the morning.
So, hey, Alex, are you impressed or what? I want you to tell me what the biggest takeaway is so far from listening to Tom this morning.
I think I like that mentality of, you know, you see a problem and you see it as an opportunity, not necessarily an insurmountable challenge, that you don't sit on it, but you find a way to get around it and keep moving.
Yeah, and I think this is great. So Alex is actually he's actually the person that's been chosen to be boots on the ground from the University of the Office of the President to visit all the California schools and get people to get excited about their 30-second pitch. Alex, is this an easy or a daunting task?
it's a bit of a legwork. You know, the campaign ends on February 28th, and so the trick is to ramp this up as soon as possible. You know, we've got less than a month really to get everything out the door. So,
okay,
I think it's a bit of a challenge.
I think that this approach of entrepreneurship maybe being more intimidating, but like you could ask people, hey, do you have problems? And they'll be like, yes. Are you a problem solver? Yes. Great. Can we get a 30-second video of talking about the fact that you are an entrepreneur? Because guess what? You are. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's also that notion of expanding the definition of being an entrepreneur. A lot of people don't realize that it really is just a mindset about how you go solving problems, not sitting on them, but being proactive and facing them head on.
All right. So we're going to do a little role play here. And this is all for sort of exposure of this concept that the UC system is looking for individuals connected with UC to basically put their hand up and say that they are an entrepreneur. So, Alex, I'm going to let you talk with Tom here. And, Tom, let's make up a so let's pretend you go to UCI. Okay, congratulations. It's very hard to get in. Congratulations. What would you be
Thank
studying
you.
Here at UCI?
What would I be studying?
Yeah, let's pretend that you give us a year in college and what you're studying. And then Alex is going to basically approach you and try to convince you to give a 30-second pitch on your business, and then we're going to throw you under the bus and see you do a 30-second pitch.
Nice. All right, sounds good. Well, why don't we really start at the beginning, and I'll be a freshman, and I'll be studying business.
All right. So, Alex, hey, I wanted to introduce you to my friend Tom. He is an anteater, and he is a freshman anteater. That means he's fresh off the boat, and I think you guys would be interested because Tom was mentioned. I saw something on his Twitter about some business he had going. So, take away.
Yeah. So, hey, Tom, you got a second right now? You head off to class, or you got a minute? Can I talk to you?
I'm headed to class, but you look like you have something powerful to tell me, so I'm going to stop.
This is great. Yes.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Well, we can walk and talk at the same time, actually. So, I work with the University of California Office of the President. And I'm also a graduate student here at UC Irvine, and we're trying to get out this notion and really highlight the entrepreneurial spirit here at University of California. So, being a business major, I think you'd be a perfect fit. What may I ask is you're trying to do with your degree here in business?
Well, I believe that we're facing a pandemic of the mind, and that people are essentially underdeveloping themselves and not understanding the brain well enough. They're getting themselves into negative patterns of depression and anxiety.
Wow, that's really advanced for a freshman. glad you've got this great focus and you know exactly what you're going to be doing here at University of California, Irvine. Well, okay, so in a nutshell, and I got my camera here. Let's get a lapel mic on you. This is what we're trying to do. You've got 30 seconds to give your pitch, and the bigger picture is this, just for some background. University of California, Irvine has a lot of great entrepreneurs that run through its system. And we really want to highlight that spirit. The problem that we're facing is that that the narrative isn't out there. A lot of this talent isn't being projected out to the greater community and the nation at large. So we want to change that narrative, beginning with this campaign. Now, the winner of this 30-second video gets to have lunch with Jenna Napolitano, who is a great resource. She runs the UC system at large, which is huge. I saw a talk with her this summer, and she said it is bigger than the entire economy of the state of Arizona. So it's a massive resource, and to have a moment of her time, I think, would really help accelerate your business. So this is what we're going to do. I got my camera here. We got a lapel mic on you now. You're going to introduce yourself. I am so-and-so, and I am a UC entrepreneur. Follow that with, who you are, a little more background. You're a freshman studying business. What it is you're trying to solve, and then, where people can find out more information about this up-and-coming business you're putting together. So, introduction,
all right.
I am a UC entrepreneur, and, put your name in there. A little bit of who you are, what you are, and where we can find out more.
Nice. All right. My name is Tom Bilyeu. I'm a UC entrepreneur. I am a freshman here, and I'm studying business. And the problem that I'm trying to solve was very succinctly summed up by Diane Nelson, the president of DC Comics, when she was addressing the UN. And she said, stories, whether through scripture, legends, or comic book, can educate and encourage. They can light a fire in our soul and guide us towards good. And I believe that right now we're living through an era where people are desperately desiring to have impact in the world, but they don't know how to do that. And I believe that it's going to be through learning about the brain and really empowering themselves to be able to tackle whatever problem they want. So I want to facilitate that. So I want to not only create the mythology like the comic books and movies that are really going to shape a new generation, but I also want to help incubate and fundraise for companies that I believe have a strong mission that will help make the world a little bit better.
So that's wonderful. Only problem is we've got 30 seconds for the video.
So what I would cut out my intro, so let's start with that. And go right to the heart of the problem.
And the other thing that I think that would be important to put in there is one line about where people can find out more. So if you have a central portal, a website, be it a social media avenue, wherever you want people to go online and find out more about who you are and what you're doing. So if we could, maybe one more time from the top, I am a UC entrepreneur. Well, one sentence, who you are, one sentence, what's the problem you're trying to solve, and one sentence, where can we find out more information? And I think that'd be a nice wrap.
All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
I'm Tom Bilyeu. I'm a UC entrepreneur. The problem I'm trying to solve is creating a space for mission-based companies and content creators to get their voices heard And you can find me at TomBilyeu across all social channels.
Wonderful. Perfect.
Yay!
Thank you very much.
Yay! The whole UC system is clapping right now.
Nice. I think you're going to win. I think you're going to take it home.
That's well, hey, exciting. Alex, for your selfish hat, how can people get connected with you, or how can they run through this process yourself so you can help coach them and they can share their 30-second pitch?
Absolutely. So, first of all, if you can't get in touch with me or if you just want to find out more, I encourage you to go to universityofcalifornia.edu/entrepreneurs. Or you could just go online and search for UC I Am an Entrepreneur, and it should pop right up. Now, on the UC campus itself, the week of the 13th, the details we're still putting it together, but we're going to be filming near the Entrepreneur Center. And so you can come and get in touch with me if you'd like. My cell phone is 206-291-8674. Again, 206-291-8674. My email, mcdonaa1@uci.edu. mcdonaa1@uci.eu. Feel free to reach out to me, but I'll go ahead and call in next week as well.
Yeah,
buddy. We get this all locked down with a little more details, and really appreciate your time.
For sure. I love throwing people under the bus, especially on live radio. I mean, there's nothing more exciting than that, so of course.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, Alex, you keep fighting the good fight, and you know, if you can get one or two or 100 people to admit that they are a UC entrepreneur, they're going to think more about the fact that they are a problem solver, and that fact alone can have a huge impact. You have no idea what the next billion-dollar company is from the next freshman, and that's really exciting. So very commendable for what you're doing.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you very much. You all have a great afternoon.
All right. See you, buddy.
Or morning, rather. Yeah. Bye.
All right. So, wow, Tom, good job. That was fun. Did you enjoy that, or was that kind of stressful?
No, man, that was great. I love it, and I appreciate you giving me a second chance to redeem myself after the far too long first one.
It's funny. It's hard because you don't realize how quick 30 seconds is, and there's nothing more challenging than to keep things simple, right? Because as entrepreneurs, we're so excited. We could talk about what we're doing for hours, but to put it in 30 seconds is tough.
Yes, that is for sure.
So,
but a good exercise, by the way.
Yeah, totally good. And that's a great quote. I mean, quoting somebody with authority at the UN, you're talking about comic books and relating it back to just stories and mythology. That's good stuff. So we've got about 15, 20 more minutes, and I want to get back to your number two and your number three tips for social media. I believe the first one was to get offline and get really good at what you're doing so that you can share that information online, and you shouldn't be fearful to share the gold nuggets, like the best stuff you have, because people will realize that you are an expert and they're not going to not hire you because you give them the information online. It's going to actually help you out. And just, it's about being real and being authentic and not sort of being a charlatan of the industry that you're trying to be at. Would you care to try to make up a ratio of the amount of time that people should spend online versus offline in this goal of communicating what they're doing?
Oh man, that 99 to 1. I mean, you really should, especially like for
college. Wait, 99 to 1, like 99% of your time offline and then 1% online to communicate it?
Yeah.
Wow,
I mean, you should be learning. Like the mode, if you're in college, the mode is learning, man. It's about skill acquisition, knowledge acquisition. It's not about being out and talking about it. And you know, first, like here's the thing: you need to become capable of the extraordinary. Talking about something isn't going to serve you or your audience. So yeah, I would say head down, do the work, build something that matters, and the rest will take care of itself.
I love it. It's almost like, I'm sure you're familiar with the 80-20 principle, Pareto principle, and all that.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I love it. You've just sort of created the Tom principle, which is the social media strategy called the 99-1. And it's all about being in the right mentality and learning. And I think if you give people permission to do that, it takes the pressure off feeling like you have to be online all the time, because you're better off spending time offline to learn your craft, because then when you're online, you're really good.
No question.
Okay, so that's number one. That's the Tom time theory, 99-1. What's number two top tip for social media for not only entrepreneurs, but regularpreneurs and problem-solvingpreneurs and mompreneurs?
Well, specifically as it relates to social media, just having really real relationships, people that otherwise wouldn't necessarily connect, you just have to be willing to put in the work and go deeper than just a surface communication. But I've met some extraordinary people online that have then made contact in real life, and it's actually pretty amazing the kinds of relationships that can start over Twitter or start socially. For instance, Steve Aoki, the DJ, he and I had learned about each other online first before we ever connected. And there's just, you know, a lot of people like that. Jason Silva is another great example. And I don't know if your listeners know who Jason Silva is, but man, if you don't, go deep. He's the host of Brain Games and just an incredible human being and a really good friend. But that all started online. And, you know, when you get these relationships in person and can really begin to develop something that's more real, then you can build something lasting. But even just having the ongoing communication of sharing things, Jason Silva, for instance, just an incredible articulator via social media, his ability to use the technology to put out ideas. Like, he'll go on a tirade and just put like 10 clips from movies that really impacted him, which actually made me feel closer to him, even though it wasn't like aimed specifically at me. But there are really cool ways that I think people can express themselves and connect online. Be a human first, be real, connect, and
so here's what I did. Like, sometimes when I have the show and I'm listening, I pretend like I'm a listener. So I went, as you were talking, and I went onto Twitter and I just searched Jason Silva, and he popped up, and then I tweeted him. I said, "Hey, Jason Silva, @TomBilyeu said I should check you out. So here I am, would love to connect. He's speaking your praises, loving it."
That's awesome.
There you go. I mean, it could be that simple. So I would encourage you out there to go out there and find Jason Silva. His handle is @JasonSilva on social media, or on at least Twitter, and say, "Hey, Jason, I was listening to @RyanFoland and @TomBilyeu, and they said we should connect." That would be great if he just gets bombarded by all these people. And who knows, somebody might spark that into a conversation. You never know where that leads. So I think that's great. I talk about this point in the fact of, don't look at social media as a tool of distraction, but look at it as a tool of attraction. And I recently gave a TEDx talk about this as one of three main concepts. But as soon as, like, social media can be distracting, right? You get on and it can be totally distracting and be frustrating, and you feel like it's taking time away from your life and that the relationships are not real. But if you flip that and you look at the actions online to build a relationship, I mean, look at all these cool people you're talking about that you met. And these people, you'd never be able to get in front of otherwise. So I think that's a great concept. So tip number two from Tom is to basically use social media to connect, to form real relationships. And for those people that don't know how to do that, what are some, like, here's an example where I literally tweeted somebody. Is there a way that you find that you're able to build relationships with online? Is it a certain platform? Do you do a certain thing? Any tips on that to reinforce this main point?
Most definitely. The key thing is find a way to add value to somebody's life. So a lot of times, first of all, I only reach out to people that I have an authentic interest in, like I've really connected to their content or just their, you know, views on life. And once I can approach somebody from a genuine place of appreciation, especially if we have stuff in common, that becomes very, very easy for me. So reaching out a lot of times is, you know, trying to figure out like what's meaningful to them, especially if you're reaching out to somebody that has a big following, to figure out what it is that they're trying to do with their community, figure out how you can add value. And a lot of times it's just commenting, it's sharing their stuff. It's commenting on it. It's helping other followers in their community, which to me at Impact Theory, that's just such a huge thing for me when the members of the community are helping each other. And so when I see that, like, I'll reach out to the people that are helping the other people and just thank them. And so that's like, if you're trying to get on my radar, helping other people in the community is like number one.
Yeah, that's great. We are tweeting this stuff out left and right. This is fantastic. And I think all it takes is for somebody to be sort of made aware that it's okay. And I think people underestimate the value of liking and sharing other people's content. Like, that's the way to get people's attention. You know, I live in my notification feeds, and people that I see that are constantly tweeting or retweeting what I'm doing, like, I feel a connection with them, and that engagement sparks engagement. I just scrolling through Jason's feed here, I saw a couple things that I'm like, cool, so I just retweeted him, and it can be that easy within like a 5-minute period. But I do think the point of being genuinely interested in somebody is a foundation for that, building a real relationship.
Definitely. No question.
Do you use social media to get in touch with these massive people you have on your show? Or is it just sort of because of the history that you have and the status that you're able to just pick up the phone? I mean, as you gather these guests, how much of gathering them is social strategy? So I can cheat and then get Tim on my show and get all these crazy people on my show and stuff.
That was a huge part of the strategy in the beginning. It's a much, much smaller piece of the strategy now. I mean, because, look, we've got infrastructure. I have a guy that books the show, and he's, you know, been booking shows for 20 years, and so he has long-standing relationships and, you know, being able to open doors and make meetings happen. But it starts with the hustle, you know what I mean? And you collect these kinds of people over time when they see that you deliver value, and that's, you know, how I've been able to get these people on my team, is they see me deliver value consistently over time.
Very cool. Okay, I've got a pop question, and maybe this, we've got about 5 minutes left, so maybe you can tie your answer into maybe your third made tip, because I bet you have 99 tips, and not having them is not one. But tweet chats. Are you familiar with tweet chats? Do you do tweet chats? What do you think of tweet chats?
I'm familiar with it. I haven't done much of it, to be honest. Like, I publish a lot of content. Twitter is not my primary social.
Okay.
I would say that Facebook and Instagram are much more my focus.
Gotcha. Okay. So I'm just asking because that was a brand new thing for me, and I found out about it, totally stumbled through it. I'm a guest on a tweet chat today, and I'm just kind of getting the vibe of seeing what people think about it. And I think it's an interesting concept, but just like a show, you've got to build the audience. And for those of you who don't know, tweet chat, you go to tweetchat.com, enter a hashtag, and a certain person, like a radio show or a podcast, will say, you know, every Wednesday at 11 o'clock, you know, somebody does something. And it's interesting because there is a huge community, and people are gathering with the intent of connecting. And I'm looking at leveraging that from a tool of meeting a lot of people in a small amount of time. I was just curious your thoughts on it.
No, man. In fact, I'd love to hear, you know, as you go deeper into this, if it's something that you think is really delivering value or not. Because if it is, you know, I'm always looking for answers, man.
Very so cool.
Let me tell you, if it shines for you,
yeah,
hit me up and let
I
me
will.
Know.
I've made friends with Winnie Sun. She's a fantastic person and happens to be very successful in the financial planning here in Orange County. And every Wednesday at 11 o'clock, she has a tweet chat, and it's hashtag Winnie Sun. And she trends on Twitter within about 10 or 15 minutes, which is crazy. I am definitely getting my head in this space. So I will do the dirty work for you and the hustle, and then I'll see if I can bring you in and make some intros when it makes sense after I learn a little bit more about it.
My man, that's incredible. Because
that's me adding value, right? Like, that's me adding value. Like, I can't help introduce you to Tim Ferriss because I'm still trying to chase him down, but I can introduce you to somebody else. And I think that's a tool for everybody that I use as part of my arsenal is listening. Like, you know, you're innovative, you're out there, you're trying to get exposure. I'm learning something new. I'm going to admit that I'm not good at it yet, but I'm learning, and I'll loop you in when I learn more. So even if you don't have specific skills, an excuse to bring value to somebody else is to increase those skills. So I'm pumped to tweet chat today, and I'll think of how I can get better at it to help other people get better at it.
That's amazing, man. That is a winning strategy for sure.
All right. So we've got 3 minutes, if not a little bit less. This is your chance to give the number three nugget of information for social media, and it's a showstopper. People are going to be pissed and have to fast forward the entire show just to get to this last 2 minutes. And I'm going to build you up so that, you know, the pressure is there, but it can just be a simple tip because I think simple is powerful. What do you think?
Here's the thing. I'm going to deliver crushing value right now.
Oh my gosh.
And the bad news is nobody is going to do it. And that is because it is the truth. There is no shortcut. But getting out and actually learning about social media is the key to getting good at it. So like you're talking about with tweet chats, right? So it's sort of dimly on my radar, not something that I'm messing around with. But now I'm actually really interested to see, like, if you're able to do something with it, Facebook is my obsession right now, learning about their audience segmentation and how rapidly they're evolving that, and video ads, and it is a world unto itself. And so educating ourselves, you know, the team here at Impact Theory, that's all we think about, is educating ourselves and passing around information internally with what we learn. Like, there's no substitute for getting good at things.
That was it. I think when I edit the show as a podcast, I'm just going to find this last 5 minutes and the first 6 minutes and the last 5 minutes, right? Speaking of Facebook, here's an interesting truth. Actually, I'm going to take that back. Here is a pickaxe that you can use in your efforts to obsess about Facebook. Have you heard of the dollar a day strategy by Dennis Wu?
No.
Okay, so check him out. Dennis YU, that's at Dennis YU. Blitzmetrics, he runs social media for some of the largest companies out there, pro sports. And he has this awesome, crazy, simple concept called a dollar a day. And it's, if you're geeking out on the targeted audiences with Facebook, you will like not sleep for 3 days as you dig into what this is. In a very overarching sense, you know how you have audiences that you're targeting and you have a massive audience and it takes tons of money to get in front of them from the Facebook ad side of things. But the smaller you make that audience and the more narrow and niche, you're really, the strategy is influencing the influencers. So instead of trying to get in front of just regular people, find the people that you want to get in front of, and then find who their bosses are, and then find who their bosses work with, and then target people who identify themselves that work at those companies or something. And so you get your stuff for a dollar a day into some of the most influential people because it's a small, small, small target. And it's the kind of long-haul strategy where it's anybody's game because everybody has a dollar a day to spend. The more we help each other, the more we grow, and collaboration beats competition every time.
I love it, man. I'm with you on that.
Okay, cool. So we're going to end the show here. So, Tom, it was fantastic. A big shout-out to the media company, Nicole over there at NRPR Group. Great, great gals. Love what they're doing. Jessica, Jennifer, everybody, good job for connecting. And, hey, I'll figure out how to plug you in Orange County. Got some OC Tech Happy Hour stuff going on and things like that. Everybody else, follow KUCI-FM online, and we'll see you around. Tom, on the count of three, we will say something creative like, everyone is an entrepreneur. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Everyone is an entrepreneur.
All right. Well, thanks. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next Wednesday at 8 o'clock. And don't forget to check out Impact Theory. Follow my Twitter feed for all the recaps of what happened today. We are going to rock on. And everybody, have a great day.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
Wow, what a great interview. Probably one of my favorites. If you want to catch more episodes online, all you have to do is go to getnotified.kuci.org. This is the Ginger MC, signing out.